You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans. Welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 483. Randall, you're here as well. How's it going?
It's going good.
And we're going to do a preview of Notre Dame's upcoming matchup with Vanderbilt. And both teams are 2-0. I think a lot of fans, you know, are still down from last week. And when we hear about Vanderbilt and how tough their defense has been on opposing offenses, especially with disruptive plays like tackles for loss and forcing turnovers, a lot of fans, I think, are worried about this game. And I've gone back and forth a little bit. I'll let you know where I ended up when we get to that point in the podcast. But let's just talk about some of the things that Brian Kelly mentioned from the press conference on Tuesday. And we're recording this Wednesday because we had I had a busy evening last night. Wasn't able to record last night. So we're recording this as of September 12th. And so, yeah, Randall, what were some of your thoughts or things you wanted to talk about from the press conference?
Well, Brian Kelly continues to take a lot of the blame for last weekend's loss, not having the team prepared. And on one point, on one side, you think, he's put some on the players, you know, they need to do better. But then on the other hand, if you do think about it, they've been getting ready for Michigan for a year, basically. And then, you know, it was kind of prime for a letdown, whoever they played. And he needs to do a better job, which is a little concerned because, you know, how often have we heard that? Alabama, they weren't prepared. Miami, they weren't prepared. Like, it's not just this last week that they weren't prepared. That's something that has been a little bit of an issue at Notre Dame, getting prepared for some of these games. But he continues to take the blame for that. And he started out saying that they learned that they needed to be more intentional in what they did in practice and every day.
Anything from tying their shoes to I forget what other example he used.
He said, well, somebody asked him what he needs to do in prepping better, and he says everything. Tying their shoes, the food, controlling the weather.
So, and obviously he was being sarcastic, but what do you think he can do? I mean, is it different drills, or is it more psychological?
I think it's a little of both. I mean, obviously, it sounds like they kind of were lagging a little bit the first part of the week coming off that Michigan win. But they need to go in there. Maybe instead of saying it's a faceless opponent, treat it like it's Alabama every week or something. I mean, stay on the guys. Don't back off at all. Stay on the guys. Put pressure on them. Make them work. And don't let them slack off at all.
I think we all assume it's easy to get up for the big games like an Alabama or a Michigan, but then we also think it's easy to just destroy the teams that Notre Dame has an advantage when it comes to talent and coaching.
Yeah,
but it isn't that easy because there's upsets every week, and there are even Alabama, not so much, but even in Ohio State, even Clemson, even. Make your choice. I mean, even a USC or a Stanford, whoever, Texas.
Yeah, well, look at I started looking at it like this. Like, how excited were we to be playing Ball State? Just as the fans.
Yeah, not excited at all.
Even when you go to a game, I've been to those games. Like, I wasn't at the Ball State game, but you go to UMass or Temple. I mean, it's just, it's boring. It's almost like going to the Blue Gold game, the spring game. It's like, yeah, you get to watch football. You probably got some cheaper tickets, and you get to watch football and nothing. It's nothing like the atmosphere against Michigan, against USC. It's just not there. Nobody is yelling on third downs when Notre Dame's defense is on third downs. I mean, you're not standing up. Everybody's just there enjoying a nice Saturday, watching some football, and they think they're going to win. And it's hard for us as fans to get excited about it. And so if you look at it like that, you can understand why it's hard for the football team to get excited about that as well.
And the one thing Brian Kelly said is that it starts with respecting your opponent. And I think he's right. And I think that manifests itself in a lot of different ways. When you realize that your opponent, even if it is lowly Ball State, can beat you, and if you don't play well, any team can beat you. And if you have the enough respect for your opponent and the amount of pride in yourself as an individual and as a team, I think it'll help in all the little things, in the practice, in the drills, in the mentality. And I do think that it's hard to always be in Alabama and always give your best shot. And I think that's what makes people great. Like Michael Jordan, and I'm really too young to really remember, but from hearing people talk about him is that, I mean, he was always giving his best shot, and he didn't win all the time. He didn't make every shot, but in hindsight, it appears that way.
Well, I think the one difference, when you watch, especially Nick Saban, it doesn't matter if they're winning by 10 touchdowns. He's on the sideline upset about something that's wrong with the play, whether they're down by 10 or up by 50. He's got the same, he's always has that intensity and is getting after guys. You know, we kind of laughed last week about Brian Kelly, you know, red face Brian Kelly. You know, we think, it's Ball State, it's different. But you see some of these elite coaches, especially, I mean, Nick Saban, is just as upset about things when they're up by a lot of points as
when
they're
down. Was
Brian
Kelly red face last week?
No, it was Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah. But and that part, I do see how the coaches can step it up. They need to coach the same way they do for a Michigan game. They can't let the guys get away a little more or take it easier on them because, oh, it's Ball State, it's okay to make a mistake.
You always want, I think the fan or the coaches, their goal is to always have the intensity very high and to always put the players in the best position to comfortably win a game. But at the same time, I don't think you want to always be pulling tricks out of your bag and being super creative when you don't need to be.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe, if the intensity would have been there, I think this game would have not been as close as it was, and it wouldn't have been necessary. And I don't think offensively or defensively, you know, Notre Dame got fancier. The coaches really, you know, pulled any tricks out of the bag as it was, or were really clever. But I think they probably will be a little offensively. I do expect Notre Dame to try to get Brannon in the running game a little more, and maybe once they do, if they get a sizable lead, maybe then we will see a little more Brannon handing the ball off or sitting back in the pocket a little more. Hopefully, you know what I really want to see, Randall? If I could, my one wish for this game is to see Brannon Wimbush throw the ball away.
True, and yeah, that's something they'd work on. But a couple good things about this game. Well, first of all, it gives us a lot to talk about coming out of a Ball State game.
It's true.
We're still talking about it. Second thing is, I think this team, it kind of woke the team up, and I expect them to come out and play better in the next games going forward because they had a little bit of a scare. Notre Dame was able to have a little bit of a scare and still come away with a win. And I think that's the biggest positive in all this is that they got scared, but they did still won the game. And so hopefully that'll wake them up, and they'll get back to a little more of the team against Michigan that we saw. I mean, there's still concerns on this team, but hopefully they'll get back to where they need to be. And they can start against Vanderbilt. I mean, they're supposed to win against Vanderbilt, and this is their chance to prove that they can play, even if the game isn't as hyped as what some of them are, they can come out and play their game. Some of the other things from the press conference, well, Komet is injured, has a high ankle sprain, Cole Komet, the tight end, and that's not good. High ankle sprains seem to hang around. Like, whenever somebody has a high ankle sprain, especially an offensive lineman, but tight ends as well, it's one of those lingering injuries that just they can't completely get rid of it for a while. So Brian Kelly said he looks to be doubtful for the Vanderbilt game, which
means he's definitely out. And hopefully, let's be realistic, though. Notre Dame, they should not need Komet to win this game. I don't believe they do need him to win this game.
Or it's the time next for Wisher to step up, you know, and
where's
see
he been? Has he even been targeted?
Earlier, coming out of last year, I figured he would be number one. I mean, if not number two, he'd be the number one guy. If Mac didn't step up, and we haven't really seen him. So here's a chance. I mean, there are other guys. It's one position that can maybe afford to have a guy out this week. And then the offensive line, Brian Kelly was asked a couple different questions about the offensive line, you know, and when do you put in younger players and all this and that. And he said the red panic button, he says he knows where that's at. He's coached for a long time, and he knows that there's a red panic button, but he said right now it isn't even near his desk. So he's not panicking. He's saying he's not. And they're going with the five guys they got.
But he also made it clear they have work to do, both coaching and the players stepping up.
Yes.
And is Hainsey full go?
Yeah, I think. I mean, he still kind of has a lingering injury, but I don't. It's nothing that they're going to hold him out. I mean, if they would have held him out, it would have been last week against Ball State. So hopefully these guys can get it figured out. And Jeff Quinn's got his work cut out. I mean, he had a high standard to live up to, and he's definitely got his work cut out. So there's some concern, because even the guys like Alex Barr, Sam Mustafer, they've had how many starts, and they struggled against Ball State.
I need to see more from this offensive line before I'll give my verdict.
That's
on
what I,
on what I think of Jeff Quinn.
Who knows what all they might have been trying in that game that they don't normally do. I mean, just, you know, Brian Wimbush was throwing the ball, and he normally doesn't. Was the offensive line trying some new things? And honestly, I can't tell you enough about
those. And Brian Kelly talked a lot about they need to communicate better. And
they need to do something better.
It sounds easy enough to fix, but I'm sure it's more complicated than...
Yeah, but that's pretty much, other than that, there wasn't a whole lot in the press conference.
This team that Notre Dame is facing comes again with a NFL caliber at quarterback. I've said that sentence as awkwardly as possible. No, they've had success. They've put up a lot of points. They're averaging 220 yards passing per game, which is a little bit less than Notre Dame is. Notre Dame's averaging 233. Obviously, it's just two games so far, and the opponents that Vandy has been playing is not, you know, the caliber that, or I guess Ball State. But yeah, they haven't been playing. They didn't play in Michigan. They started out with, was it Middle Tennessee?
They beat them 35-7, and then last week was Nevada 41-10. So, which is the Nevada. Nevada's supposed to be better, so. But you can't tell this early in the season if they are or not. They still got Justin Brennan on their team. This has to be about his 10th year of college, but no, he is still on the team as a wide receiver, I believe. Or did he play safety? He's kind of switched back and forth out there. I haven't kept up.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's doing for Nevada.
But yeah, they've done good.
And I understand they kind of have a little bit of a rotation at running back, and...
Well, they have three guys at running back. I mean, the main guy, number one guy, is Keyshawn Vaughn, and Notre Dame did recruit him at one point, and he is actually a transfer. I believe he played at Illinois and then transferred to Vanderbilt, but he is their number one back. But they do have three guys that they can put out there at running back, and so yeah, I'm not quite as worried about Notre Dame stopping the run. But then when you get to Kyle Shermer, the quarterback, he's can throw the ball, and we saw what a NFL caliber guy could do against Notre Dame. Just those short passes, and Brian Kelly mentioned it, had a lot of good things to say about Shermer, and he's been in the system. I believe this is his fourth year, and so he's been around quite a bit. He's seen a lot, and I guess the good thing is their receivers aren't the best. His number one target is actually the tight end, who is, again, they say, an NFL player. But Jared Pinkney is his target, his favorite target, and especially on third downs. And he's picked up a lot of yards for him. I don't have his stats for me right now. But
so this will probably be a good test for Tavon Coney. I mean, the big question has been, how is he going to do in his coverage? Is he going to improve? And so this might be a real game where he's targeted and tested heavily. And who knows, maybe Notre Dame will try to be a nickel where they'll be able to cover the tight end with a cornerback. Or nickelback.
Jared, so far on the season, Jared Pinckney has 7 receptions for 130 yards. But then, actually, one of the receivers, Khalija Lipscomb, has 14 receptions for 145 yards. So Lipscomb has double the receptions, but just a few more yards than what Pinckney does. But those are the two targets in the passing game. And then it kind of, there's a whole bunch of guys after that that have receptions on the year. But, I mean, after those two, Donovan Tennyson has 2 receptions. Pierce has 3, but most of the other guys have 2 or 3. So you can see the drop-off after those two guys. So that's a good thing for Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. It's not like they spread the ball around a lot. It's usually going to one of those two guys when they're passing it. They're often – when I did an interview earlier this week, and it was funny when I asked about the offensive line, he said they're all coming back. He said it's good and it's bad that they're all coming back. So they're 5 offensive linemen with the same 5 guys they had last year, so they have experience, but they've also had their struggles. And so, you know, it's not – yeah, they had the experience, but they're not the best 5 offensive linemen. The left tackle – probably has most experience, Charles Skule, so he'll have his hands full going against Notre Dame's run defense. So,
and Vanderbilt is an SEC school, so they're used to going up against top talent, but they don't do very well against that top talent. They usually beat their out-of-conference opponents, but then lose to the SEC opponents. I mean, they beat a couple here and there, but at least the last few years anyway.
But they're not worried about going into Notre Dame to play. They're used to playing in big environments. Yeah. And so Notre Dame, the environment there doesn't scare them, which it doesn't scare enough people in my mind. But anyways, their coach, Derek Mason, is actually from Stanford, was defensive coordinator out there. So Notre Dame has played against him. They know his defense, and they didn't do too good against his defense either. But he brought in one of his fellow coaches from Stanford to help with the defense this year. And they've stepped it up. They've been creating a lot of pressure, which doesn't bode well for Notre Dame's offensive line. But one of the we talked about it in the interview I did a little bit, but one of the things they have done to try to get the guys to – keep moving is that in practice, when they're filming the practice so they can watch film later, Mason told the photographers to keep, as soon as the play is done, whistled dead, they throw a flag up in the air, basically what the ref said. They throw it up in the air and they keep filming until it lands. What he was trying to do is that when they go back and watch film from practice, they can see who the guys are that are putting in effort, that keep playing
beyond that the whistle, don't just to the stop. Echo of the whistle.
Yeah, that don't just stop instantly and slow down Chase Claypool type. And it's made a big difference. This year, you know, they had it was an interception against Nevada, I believe, where, you know, it got tipped. And because they kept playing through, a guy was right behind, another defender was right behind the guy that tipped it and caught it for an interception. And so they have been, whenever there's a turn, they've forced a lot of turnovers and they've had a lot of pressure on the quarterback. And a lot of it is due to their hustle to get to the ball and make plays. And it seems like one of the biggest things is just the simple fact of filming them and getting them to play through. I don't know, the only downside is that maybe we can get a late hit out of all this. So. But they definitely hustle more than they have in the past, and so far this year it has helped their defense, and I think they have 6 turnovers in the first 2 games already, so they've been doing great in forcing turnovers. Their strengths are the linebackers. All three of their linebackers are pretty good and can rush the quarterback, can blitz and do all that. And that scared me a little bit because we saw what Ball State was able to do. It's one thing when the offensive line just has to focus on keeping the defensive line at bay, but when you got the linebackers coming in as well, Notre Dame struggled mightily. So the offensive, Notre Dame's offensive line is going to have their work cut out in slowing down these guys. They'll get a chance to redeem themselves after the last 2 weeks. And then one interesting player on the defense is their cornerback. They have a cornerback that is, I think he's 6'4". So there goes the Notre Dame advantage, the wide receiver height advantage with a 6'4 cornerback on the other team. So they're going to have to work for the, work a little harder for the jump ball, the 50-50 balls we like to talk about. So, yeah, in my mind, this is a good chance for Notre. They're going to see a lot of pressure from the defense, and they have a good quarterback in the offense, and so Notre Dame is going to have a great opportunity to redeem themselves this week.
So, Randall, it sounds like this is the exact kind of team Notre Dame is not ready to play.
They get after
the quarterback. They're disruptive. And last week, our offense did struggle moving the did struggle scoring points for sure and converting third downs. Why then is the spread 14 points, 13 and a half, 14 points?
Well,
why is Notre Dame better than Vandy?
Because we all saw what they were able to do against Michigan, and I think everyone believes, even Vegas believes, that it was just a letdown last week. That it's not something that's a long-term issue, a big problem, that it was clearly a letdown and they just didn't get excited for the game and it kind of caught them by surprise a little bit. So I think, you know, when it comes to that, that's, everybody knows Notre Dame is better than last week, except for Notre Dame fans, maybe.
Where is Notre Dame going to be able to counteract this disruptive defense? Where are they going to find success in moving the ball and scoring points?
Well, I think it has more to do with Notre Dame's offense and Brandon Wimbush than it does with Vanderbilt's defense. You play an offense that, to Brandon Wimbush's strengths, running the ball, he's going to be able to pass the ball. And, yeah, their linebackers, their front seven are good, but if he can make a couple of those runs, he's going to be able to pass the ball as well and take advantage. I mean, if the linebackers are bringing pressure, take advantage of it and make some throws. And I think if you can get, it's more on Brandon Wimbush than it is on the Vanderbilt defense at this point.
And on play calling.
The Notre Dame offense,
yeah,
basically.
I completely agree. I think that we're going to see Brandon Wimbush that looks night and day different, and a big part of it is going to be the play calling. I do think the offensive line, they struggled, but I expect the whole team to step up and to be playing with more energy and more attention to details, Brian Kelly calls it. That's one thing that I did notice about Vanderbilt. They have a slew of penalties in both of their games. Notre Dame has only had a few in both their matchups, and this Notre Dame team, even though they weren't quite as energetic or getting the job done, they still were not getting flagged for penalties. They were being disciplined in that regard, and that can make a difference too in a game. I think Notre Dame easily wins this game. I think they're going to cover the spread.
Wow, you're feeling positive this week.
I know, and I think we're going to see a tale of two stories. We're going to see Notre Dame come out. I'm ready to get into what we're expecting to see, if you are.
Go for it.
I think we're going to see a different offense. I think it's going to be, the calls are going to be played to outmaneuver and take advantage of some of the disruptive, or I can't think of what the right word is now, aggressive defense. Those linebackers, Brandon Wimbush doesn't dink and dunk, so I think there's definitely going to be opportunities to take shots downfield or when they are blitzing. Like we saw the first drive against Michigan when Chip Long called the play with Chase Claypool running behind the linebackers. I don't know if you remember if it was play action, but Brandon Wimbush kind of looked like he might be running out to the right side into the flats, and then Chase Claypool just kind of slipped behind the linebackers to the other side, and it was a fairly easy pitch and catch and a first down. I think we're going to see some plays like that where Notre Dame takes advantage of what Vanderbilt is known to do, which is be aggressive and take the football away. Notre Dame could lose this game for sure. I mean, if they turn the ball over, if the turnover ratio is 3+ in favor of Vandy, Notre Dame will probably lose this game. But as long as it's closer to even, you know, one in favor of Vandy, I think Notre Dame still easily wins this game.
Yeah. Are you going to give your score prediction or you want me to go?
Go ahead, then I'll give my score prediction.
Yeah, I think Notre Dame is going to win this game. I think I feel even more confident after last week's game that they can win this and that they can cover the spread. We'll see more of the Brandon Wimbush we saw against Michigan. Hopefully the others can step up. The running backs can keep improving. And, you know, the thing is they still won that game, and the receivers drop balls, the running backs miss some blocks. There's just different things that they can clean up, and that could have been completely different once, you know, go past the quarterback. But I think they'll be able to move the ball. They're not going to have the letdown. And then on defense, I think Notre Dame can create turnovers of its own. Right now all the talk is about the other defense against Notre Dame's offense, and we kind of forget about how good Notre Dame's defense is. And I think they can bring pressure of their own against this quarterback. And I like it that one of their strengths often is the three running backs, because Notre Dame has done well against the run. And so I think Notre Dame will play very good defense on this as well. And I have Notre Dame covering the spread. Maybe it's a little bit, I have it a little bit lower than maybe after, than I would have before last week's game, but I think they win 28-17. Which is the spread? Is it still at 10 points?
No, it's 14.
Is it 14?
It's 14.
Okay, I was saying.
Right. Let me double check. Yeah. Right now, okay. It's 14.
Yeah. So that is not covering the spread.
You gonna change it, or are you gonna leave it?
I was thinking that was just over the. I'm not sure where I got to. I think it's from earlier.
Well, it might have. The line might have moved.
Go with your score prediction. Well, let me go think ahead, about, think it, about it. I'm going to leave it at 28-17.
Okay.
It's not about covering the spread. That's what I think the score is going to be, whether they cover the spread or not. That's what I think the score is going to be.
I think Notre Dame's going to have a little more success offensively than what you do, Randall. I have Notre Dame scoring 38 and holding Vanderbilt to 21. So I have a few more points being scored, but
so you're still not high on the defense. I know what you're saying. Even my 17, I kind of debated, because we look at it as when we think there's going to be a close game, that means they're going to score more points to keep up with Notre Dame. And, yeah, well, Ball State scored more than I thought they would last week. But it's just how good the defense is playing. And then, for me at least, when I look at the score, to make it a close game, I raise Vanderbilt's points. When the defense is the one that's playing good. So,
well, we'll see. Okay, tweet out your score prediction or message or comment it on Instagram, and if you win, we'll be sending you a coupon code that will give you a free pound of coffee from Main Street Roasters. And Main Street Roasters, this is part of the reason I was busy last night. They released a new flavor or a new kind of coffee. It's a single origin from Indonesia. It's not even on the website yet, but it's going to be coming here pretty soon, I'm sure. And so keep your eye on that if you like. It's a very smooth coffee. It's even smoother than Costa Rica, in my opinion. So very, very mild and smooth coffee. Go ahead, Randall.
Just some other things I'm going to throw out. There is a watch for another Notre Dame commit on Friday. Walter Rouse, offensive lineman, is planning to announce his commitment, and he's down to Notre Dame and Stanford. I mean, it looks like he's going to go to Stanford. We talked a little bit about the forum. It's almost like he's waiting to make sure that he's accepted into Stanford before he makes his decision. But Notre Dame is one of the two finalists, so watch that on Friday. And then The other thing that was interesting, North Carolina State does cancel games for hurricanes. So they did cancel their game for Saturday. I mean, there's quite a few other schools that did as well because it's the weather is not looking good on the southeastern coast there. But I guess they do cancel games, unlike 2 years ago when Notre Dame played in their local swimming pool. But, yeah, so anyways, just thought that was kind of interesting. And, yeah, that's all I got.
What matchup are you most interested in this week? There's a few really good ones. And I'll tell you which one I'm looking forward to the most. There's a couple top 25 matchups, but the one I'm looking forward to the most is Ohio State and TCU. I hate Ohio State. I don't really like TCU, but I'm curious to see how they're going to hold up Urban-less Ohio State. And then I believe he would come back the following week. Or maybe, was he suspended 3 games or 4?
Oh, boy.
Either way, he comes back a week or two after this matchup.
I don't think Ohio State's going to pull out. They just always do.
Well, they're a 13.5-point favorite.
Yeah. One game I do want to kind of interest, I didn't look at them that closely, but I am kind of interested in USC and Texas just because that has been a little bit of a rivalry. And USC struggled last week. What did they score, 3 points?
Yeah, I think so.
And so I'm just kind of interested. I mean, they scored 3 points against Stanford. Just interested to see what they're going to do. I mean, it doesn't really matter who they're playing. I'm just interested to see what they're going to do.
Well, Texas is favored in this game, but Texas is coming off, I think, an embarrassing loss to Maryland in the opener.
Yeah, in the opener. They did have a win. They beat Tulsa last week by 7 points, 28-21. But Notre Dame can't always beat Tulsa, so. But, yeah. And in case you didn't notice, the kickoff this Saturday is at 2:30 Eastern instead of 3:30, which is a little bit different. So it's an hour earlier than what a normal afternoon game is. So make sure you don't miss that. If you're out doing some work, be sure you quit in time. So there's a couple more games like that this year.
Some early games?
Yeah, I think there's even a noon game. So
anyways. All right, that's all we've got. Be sure to tweet at us your score prediction on Saturday. And join the forums, forums.irishsportstalk. If you want to talk Notre Dame football over there, it's free to sign up. And if you do decide to purchase some coffee from Main Street Roasters, maybe just in the notes at checkout, just leave a little note saying that you listened to Irish Sports Talk and that we were the ones that turned you on to their coffee. And do give it a try. It's delicious. Don't wait to win some coffee because your chances are probably pretty slim, at least the way that some of the other guys have been picking the scores in the first 2 weeks. So, forums.irishsportstalk.net, mainstreetroasters.com, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.